think there's more.
It's an email.
Good afternoon. My name is Stan Hall. I pastored at Gateway for 12 years. Before that, I was a missionary in Fenton here in Missouri District. Thank you for coming out. This is our dear friend Emma from our family. She was my daughter's roommate at Olivet. First year, she just hung out with them. And then the next 3 years, they were in the same room together, or same, whatever it was. She came to our house, and they would come for the weekend, and I would talk to her, and she would be very shy, and I would say, "What are you studying?" "I'm going to be a missionary." And I went, "I don't think so, because she has none of those characteristics you look for, you know, outgoing, being able." I thought, I don't know, I don't see that. Well, she surprised all of us. She is a very remarkable person that's been in Cambodia. How long now?
8 years.
8 years. The language, the little scribbly things that we couldn't even begin to understand. She's translating the Bible to improve her language, and we just think the most of her. She was also an Illinois quiz top dog for a long time, so we're in for a treat. Sometimes she talks like this.
But, accurate.
But we welcome to Emma Wright. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I am still shy, even though you might not think I am, but just get to do what God called me to do. So, as we say in Cambodia, Chom Riep Sua, Som Swakom. Welcome. Today I will be sharing about Extreme Love Ministries and the work that I get to do in Cambodia. So hopefully you got to match your pictures, and as we go through, you'll be able to see how many of them you matched correctly. Before I begin, I would just like to open in prayer, so if you guys would bow your heads with me. Jesus, thank you so much for today, for each of these people here, for this opportunity to share about the work that you are doing in Cambodia and how we can be a part. I just ask that you are in everything that I say, that you would open hearts and minds to the work taking place, to raise awareness and let us know how we can participate. Jesus, we praise you and we ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so yes, my name is Emma and I have been in Cambodia for 8 years in August. The first picture you got to match was our map of Southeast Asia. Which way does it go? So hopefully you match this. This matches to SEA for Southeast Asia. Cambodia is a small country in between Thailand and Vietnam. The population is around 17 million people, and the people in the language are called Khmer. So you'll see up here, K-H-M-E-R, but it is pronounced Khmer, because Cambodians like to write things really, really weirdly. Cambodia is in the tropics, and so it is about 90 degrees year-round, which I love. We just came through hot season, so it was over 100 degrees every day for March and April. And pretty soon, I just saw yesterday, I think it rained in Cambodia, pretty soon it will start raining every day. We'll enter our monsoon season, and the rains help cool Cambodia back down to those upper 80s, low 90s, and it'll stay that cool until December, January. We'll get about 2 weeks of really cold, 75 degree weather, and then we're just going to warm right back up to 90 and over 100 again. It's beautiful. I love it. So that is the work that I get to do in Cambodia. Today, I would like to share from Isaiah 40. So I love Isaiah 40 and God's call to Israel during this chapter. He is proclaiming the magnificence of God. So Isaiah 40 begins, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand, double for all of her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In this passage, Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel. They had rebelled against God, and so he sent the Babylonians to destroy them and take them captive. But now God is offering his comfort. Their exile is over. Verses 3 through 5 are an announcement. Prepare the way. Prepare yourselves, prepare your families, prepare your children, because God is coming and his glory will be revealed throughout the earth. This passage is used of John the Baptist, who came proclaiming that Jesus is coming. And today, we still need to proclaim that Jesus is coming. Amen. We still need comfort that God offers, and he is still proclaiming his good news and his comfort for all people. This is what I get to do in Cambodia. Cambodia is a nation that has not fully heard of who Jesus is. Through English classes and relationships, my organization and I had the opportunity to make the way, to prepare the way for Cambodians to know who Jesus is. And the first step in this is prayer. Our next picture was 95%. 95% pertains to your picture of the Buddhist statues. Cambodia is 95% Buddhist. An estimated 3% are Christian, which means that in a country of 17 million people, there are more than 16,400,000 people who do not know Jesus.
How many?
16,400,000 in a country of 17 million. It's heartbreaking. They need Jesus. Our next two houses, our next two pictures are the spirit houses and the temples, or wats. Some of you got these mixed up, it's okay. Cambodians are Buddhist, but they also participate in ancestor worship. So as Buddhists, they believe in karma and reincarnation. You need to do enough good things in your life to outweigh the bad things in your life. And at the end of your life, you're going to come back as something else. So our bottom picture is the temple that they call a wat. Many Cambodians visit these regularly to give offerings and to meet with the monks so that they can gain merit or good karma so that they will be able to come back in their life as something better. They also believe in spirits. And so these spirit houses in the top corner are outside of every home and business. And you need to leave an offering to appease the spirits so that they do not come and complicate your life or cause harm. Now, we hear this, and I see some of you shaking your heads. It's ridiculous. I agree. As a Christian and growing up a Christian, it's really hard for me to understand this mindset because they put out these offerings, and these offerings do not disappear. Nothing comes and eats them unless a dog comes by and grabs it. But most of the time you walk by a spirit house and you will see a bunch of bananas or an open Coke or an open energy drink that just sits there and it never disappears. And so for us, it's easy to think, of course, this does not make sense. What are you worshiping? But for them, this is typical life. They believe that the spirits and their ancestors are receiving it, even though it's just sitting there. One of the most amusing things for me to see is they will throw candy out on the street in order to keep bad spirits outside of their house. The problem is they throw it on the road, and so cars and motos run over it, and then it is smashed candy on the ground. And I think, if I was a spirit, this is not the candy that I would want to eat. I would probably come and haunt you because you have no respect to leave me nice candy. So, this is the cultural climate where I serve. They are Buddhists. They also believe that there are spirits that hopefully will leave them alone and not cause disruption to their life. So I get the privilege and honor of living among them and making Christ known. Isaiah 40 says, "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." In Isaiah's day, he was to proclaim the return of God's presence among Israel. They felt abandoned, but God was reminding them that they are not forgotten. They need to be told. Cambodians also need to be told. We have the good news, and we must share it so that they have the opportunity to understand their religious experiences, their offerings are futile. Even though they have never heard, we can proclaim to Cambodians, here is your God. So this is the work that ELM, Extreme Love Ministries, which I will call ELM, is doing among the most destitute and vulnerable in Cambodia. We get to be God's light and love to Cambodians. We believe that God's love is what will end human trafficking. So for the past year and a half, working with ELM, we have many programs to end human trafficking. Our vision is to restore the nations with love. We believe that all that we do is done through love to reveal God's love to the Cambodian women and children and families that we work with. Our mission is to partner together to see justice and destiny restored in individuals and regions through outreach, events, advocacy, business, community development, and gospel ministry. To give you some statistics, because over the past few decades, more and more effort is being made to end human trafficking, praise the Lord, but there are an estimated 40 million slaves worldwide. This is the sex slave trade, as well as those in forced labor. 27% of those trafficked are children under the age of 18. That is more than 10 million children. 79% are used in the sex slave trade, which is 31 million people. It is a $12 billion industry per year. So, what are we going to do? We are God's plan to end human trafficking. We are called to proclaim comfort. We are called to proclaim the way of the Lord for those who are exiled, enslaved, overlooked, forgotten, and exploited. Asia has the most slaves worldwide, and those in Cambodia are extremely vulnerable for trafficking and exploitation. There are a lot of reasons why, but for time, we're going to run through it quickly. In the 1970s, when the Vietnam War was taking place, a Cambodian communist dictator came in and gained control of Cambodia. His vision was to revert Cambodia to a completely agrarian society. And so in about 5 years, this regime wiped out almost all educational and religious institutions. Everybody went back to farming. Anybody educated was killed. Not only that, their entire family was killed. So education went from being one of the top in that area to almost none. And then at the time, there were about 7 million people in Cambodia when it started. By the time it ended, almost 2 million people had been killed. Cambodia is still trying to recover from what happened. In the 1970s, it's known as the Khmer Rouge, because Khmer is the people, Rouge meaning red for the Communist Party. And what happened left devastation, hopelessness, and poverty. Families were destroyed and broken apart. Cambodians do not fully trust anyone outside of their family, and even in their family, they struggle to trust and connect. The education system is very, very, very low. And because of what they experienced in the 1970s, human life is not really valued. You look out for yourself, and whatever happens to somebody else is not your problem. So Cambodia is still rebuilding and recovering from what happened in the 1970s. Because of this, Cambodians need God's comfort. They need to know that their suffering can end. Some of my favorite verses in Isaiah are these. Oh, nope, not this one. Next one. So Isaiah asks, "With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, a goldsmith overlays it, and fashions gold and silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple." This is the case in Cambodia. They set up their spirit houses, they set up their Buddhist statues, all in the hopes that this will bring them the happiness and the freedom and the security that they desire. In verse 21, these are the verses I like. Isaiah says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers." Israel grew up probably like many of us. We hear of God, we kind of know him, but for Cambodians, this is not the case. Have you not known? Have you not heard? For Cambodians, no. Many of them have not heard of the hope and the comfort that God provides. Our next picture is our railroad track. What do you guys think that one matches?
Less than $300.
Correct.
What?
Less than $300. This railroad track is the slum community where ELM works. This runs through Phnom Penh, the capital of Cambodia, and homes are crowded around either side of it. So just right there is probably three homes right underneath those umbrellas. People are packed in here like sardines. And this is where Extreme Love Ministries has chosen to work and to invest to make the comfort of God known among these people. This is our main slum area, but we work in two or three other areas as well. This area is dirty and stinky. Most people are hopeless, they are poor, and their families do not have enough resources to provide for the families and to send the children to school. So your word that matched was less than $300, and that is because the average salary in Cambodia is $300, the average salary. But most people that I know, that I work with, make less than this.
How long period?
For a year.
For a year, yep. $300 a month. So you're making about $10. At a good job, you're making $10 a day. Many people in this area are tuk-tuk drivers, so you're driving a little rickshaw around taking people, or most of them are garbage collectors. They have these big carts that they carry around, they pull them, and walk around collecting cans and cardboard and plastic bottles that they recycle, and often they are making less than $5 a day doing this. To help understand, hopefully this is a little seeable, housing in this area costs around $50 a month, and your electricity and water are going to be around $20 to $30 a month. Hopefully they will get a bag of rice, a big 50-kilo bag of rice, for $35, and that hopefully will last your family all month. And then meat and vegetables are going to cost a family around $1 per day per person. So for one person, that's only $30, but if you have a family of four, you're looking at over $100 a month just to provide your meat and vegetables. So mostly, they don't eat a ton of meat and vegetables, they eat a bunch of rice. They also need gas for their motorcycles to get around, so it's going to be anywhere between $5 and $15 for gas a month, depending on where you're living. I drive all over the city, and I typically spend about $10 a month on gas. But even some of the Cambodian staff that I work with, they live an hour away from where we work, and they spend closer to $50 a month on gas.
What do you drive?
I drive a little motor scooter. It's called a Dream. So, if you are a single person, between your rent, your electricity, your rice and some food, your gas, you're easily up to $150 a month. If you add in schooling for any kids, it's going to be easily close to $200 for two, three kids. The Cambodian school system is set up in two half-day blocks. So in the morning, they get to go to school for free, but then in the afternoon, the teachers charge for extra classes. These classes cost about $15 a month per class. So your math class is $15, your science class is $15, your history class is $15, all of your classes. I don't fully understand the difference between the morning and the afternoon, but all of my students assure me if they do not attend the extra afternoon classes, they will not pass their exams in their classes. This is when the teachers actually teach the information that the students need to know to pass school. So this forces families to have to pay for the extra schooling that their kids need. If a family has two parents that each make $300 a month or more, this is an easily doable budget, and you can send your children to school. But a lot of the families we work with in the slum area may only make $150 or $200 a month, and oftentimes there's only one of the two parents that is working. When this is the case, these families have to assess where they have to cut their budget. And education is the first thing that gets cut. On top of that, with this budget, if emergencies arrive, then there is no extra money to take care of those. So just to give you an example, 2 weeks ago, one of my coworkers had to take her mom to the hospital. Her mom's hospital bill for a week in the hospital and a small hand surgery was $500. Doesn't sound too bad. Except, my friend makes $250 per month. So her mom's hospital bill is now 2 months' salary. Many of the families that we work with in this area are not educated. They cannot afford it. Part of this also comes from the Khmer Rouge. They wiped out education. Nobody went to school for 5 years. They got rid of or killed all of the teachers. And so in the 1980s, when they could go back to school, they had nobody to teach them. Of course, lack of education continuously leads to poverty. So if a family isn't educated, but then they cannot afford it, then they're stuck in a never-ending cycle. The children are going to grow up. They're going to get a low-paying job. Maybe they'll make a couple hundred dollars a month. But then they're not going to be able to afford to send their children to school. Because of this, ELM has chosen to proclaim comfort to the brokenhearted in this area. Because among the poor who are seeking these basic necessities is where human trafficking and exploitation can occur. It is easier to justify selling a kid or entering prostitution if you need money to provide for the rest of the family to eat. It does not make it right, but this is the choice that some families are facing. So in order to end human trafficking, ELM is working in a variety of areas. First, we must protect the vulnerable to prevent human trafficking and exploitation from happening in the first place. And then for those who are trafficked, we need to rescue and restore them. ELM has many programs that work in each of these areas. And so for the sake of time, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Our first program is VIEW, Victim Interaction and Engagement for Wholeness. So this is a group of social workers who are making connections in the community where we work. They're making sure that children are safe and how we can provide food and other resources for the families that we work with. And if they hear of maybe a neighbor or a person down the street that needs help, they're able to bring it to our attention so that we can meet needs. If our caseworkers find families looking for jobs or opportunities, we have a program to provide microloans so that these families can start their own business. Through this, ELM just this year has given one woman a food cart and helped another woman open a restaurant in her home so that she can provide income for her family. We also have church plants that we call Shiloh in each of the communities where we work. So they meet weekly for worship, and the pastor is active in the community, building connections, making relationships, and just seeing how we can meet needs and proclaim the gospel. One of my students, who I'll call Maxine, is 11 years old. She is the youngest of five siblings, and she has four older brothers. But her family collects trash and recyclables for a living, and they make about $3 to $5 per day. This means that her family cannot afford to send any of their children to school. So ELM has stepped in, and we are sponsoring Maxine and two of her brothers as well to go to school. And for the past few months, Maxine has also been attending our Shiloh Children's Church, where she is able to learn about Jesus. And she says her favorite part of church is being able to memorize the Bible. Our rescue program is called Elijah. So this was another one of your pictures that goes with our word rescue. Elijah stands for Extreme Love Investigations for Justice and Hope. So this group works if we hear of situations of exploitation or human trafficking. They're able to step in, make a plan, and figure out how we can get those being trafficked or exploited to a safe area. To share one of their stories, about 2.5 or 3 years ago, ELM was connected with a pregnant woman who was on drugs. And they learned that when she gave birth to her baby, she was going to sell her baby for drug money. So ELM was able to keep an eye on her, ensure she had a safe birth, and then step in and rescue and remove this baby when she was in the process of trying to sell it. The government, we partner with the government, the Cambodian government allowed us to remove this baby and place him with a family who loves him and cares for him. A year later, baby number one's mom was pregnant again. She was going to do the same thing with baby number two. But again, ELM was able to keep an eye on her, ensure that she safely gave birth, and remove this baby as well, and place him with another family that will love him and care for him so that he is safe. Another program ELM has is our Destiny Cafe. This is in the beginning stages, so our furniture is still wrapped. We are not open, but we are in the process of getting set up, making this a business so that we can employ at-risk or impoverished. They're talking about men or women, we're not sure. But hopefully within the next year, Destiny Cafe will open as a business so that we can employ those at risk or coming out of prostitution. A program that has been up and running for 10 years is the Everlasting Love Training Center. So another one of our pictures was this one, and our word is skills training. This is a program for women who have come out of prostitution and trafficking. They are taught sewing skills and how to make bags, wallets, keychains, which ELM then sells to provide income for these families. For the past 10 years, ELM has been discipling 7 women in this program. And this is step one in reaching their families. I'm going to come back to this in a little bit. Our last two programs, we're down to 2 more, guys. The last two programs are where I work specifically. So this is our education empowerment program, where ELM sets up child sponsorships so that children who do not have the opportunity to go to school can be sponsored to go to school. I am the English teacher, so the kids go to that half-day school. Some of them go to a half-day school. Some of them go to a private Christian school that's all day. And then after school, they get more school with me. But this allows them to get skills and education so that after they graduate high school, they can either go on to university or get a job in a like a training program. The last program that we have is Hope House. And so this is a safe place for children who have been removed from their families because of trafficking or abuse. We have 5 school-age children in this area, as well as 5 special needs children that all live in a family-style environment where they are loved and cared for. I also teach the 5 school-age children, so as you can see, they're doing some English. Which the other one was our picture. ELM is also trying to open a foster care and adoption program. So that is another program like the cafe that we're hoping to get up and running within the next couple years. It's a little bit more complicated because we have to wait on the Cambodian government to give us all the clearance for foster care and adoption. So between the education program and Hope House, ELM is currently sponsoring almost 50 children to attend school. All of these children attend a private school. Some of them attend a half-day private school near the railroad, and the others attend a full-day Christian school. The children at the Christian school, they study until 3 p.m., and then they leave school, they go out to the street and buy a snack, and then they walk down a little alleyway to English class, and they get to study English with me. We rent a small room for $50 a month as my classroom, and I know that they have already studied a full day, so I try to incorporate lots of games and fun activities for them. On Monday and Wednesday, I teach the young students. So these students are in 1st through 6th grade. 5 of them are sponsored with ELM, and the other 3 who regularly come live in the nearby area. Across from the school, there is a lady who sells tea. She is my tea lady. And when I first began teaching, she asked, "Can I please send my children to study with you?" So she has been faithfully sending her children. Neither she nor her children are Christian, but now they get the opportunity to hear more about Jesus through these English classes. On Tuesday and Thursday, I teach the older students who are in 7th through 10th grades, and they are crazy, but fun. Our favorite activity this year was making sandwiches, which, as you can see, they did not do very well. They had to give me commands on how to make a sandwich. And the picture, that picture is their first attempt, where they told me, open the bag, and then put on the ham, put on the ketchup, put the bread on top. But they did not tell me how to do that. So, but they had fun afterwards giving more specific commands. But really, I think they just enjoyed eating sandwiches. The other area where I teach is at our Shiloh Church. So the children who do not attend the Christian school attend a private school near the railroad. And so they come to English class with me in the afternoon, I guess. Sometimes it is very difficult to get these children to show up for class, but I just pray that I can make an impact on their life, and that through English class and through my love for them, that they will know that Jesus also loves them. As I shared earlier about the Everlasting Love program and the 7 women we help, all of the women who are in that program have 2 to 5 children, and so we sponsor all of their children to go to school so that they will have a job and then their children will get education and also be able to get jobs once they graduate. By sponsoring the children, we are able to have relationship with the whole family. At the Everlasting Love, they learn, they also have a Bible study there, and then when they come to English class, we're also continuing to build those relationships and share about Jesus with them. One of the families that we work with is just a really good testimony of how we are able to reach the whole family. There's a lady who I will call Nicole, and she was able to come out of prostitution and has been with Everlasting Love for almost 10 years. Through this, she became a Christian, and she led her 3 sons to Jesus as well. They all now attend the Christian school. Her kids are actively involved in church, and sometimes they tell me, oh, we need to go to church. We cannot come to English class, which I can't argue with them. They're going to church. but it has just been amazing to watch them grow in their faith and see them serving in their local church. And this is the work that Extreme Love Ministries is doing. We desire for the whole family to know that God made them, loves them, and has good things planned for them. I love working with Extreme Love Ministries because it gives me the opportunity to teach English and to teach children, but I also get to teach them about Jesus. So English classes provide them with a skill so that they will be able to get a job and be kept safe from trafficking and exploitation. In Cambodia, you have a 100% chance of getting a job if you speak English. It is such a needed skill. But more than that, I want the children to know Jesus. I tell all of them, English will not get you into heaven. I wish it would. Well, a little bit. So for this reason, our last 2 pictures are the fun days. I started doing a monthly fun day activity with the children where we take all of them. Currently, we're splitting it up. Girls get to go 1 month and boys get to go the next month because we're taking about 50 children. So even dividing it in half is a lot of children. But we just take them. We get to do something fun with them and share about Jesus with them. So we've done swimming, soccer, bowling, a whole bunch of different things. During the fun day, we do our fun activity, and then we'll take a break for either a snack or lunch, and then I also share the gospel with them. This year, I'm trying to walk through the Bible stories to give them a foundation and just a story of why Jesus came and why he wants to know each of them. And so this year, we have done the creation story, Adam and Eve, and Noah. And in each of these, I just get to point them to who Jesus is and how he loves and cares for them. Back to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 ends with asking, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Isaiah ironically asks them again, "Do you not know?" And again for Cambodians, this is not ironic. They do not know. Human trafficking happens all over the world. As I shared earlier, there are 40 million slaves worldwide. And we have a big task ahead of us to end this. The good news is, God does not grow tired or weary. This work is not too much for him, and he continues to give strength for the work. Change does not happen overnight, but it can and it will happen. And so one more story to end on is from Christmas last year. 4 times a year, we have a meeting with all of the parents of the children that we sponsor. So part of the requirement, if we sponsor your children, you have to come to our quarterly meetings where we just get to check in with them, encourage them, share the gospel, and also just give them tools for parenting because it's very lacking there. In December, in place of a meeting, we decided to hold a Christmas party. We got them all together, we gave gifts, we ate snacks, and then we showed them parts of the Jesus film in the local language. We walked them from creation to the significance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. At the end, we asked if anybody would like to follow Jesus, and we had 4 women, the 4 on that side, not the lady in the Santa hat, who made the decision to follow Christ. We gave each of the women a Cambodian Bible and encouraged them to read the Bible and to find a local church or begin attending our Shiloh church. The next week, our caseworker in the Santa hat went to visit the lady who is the 4th one, so the 2nd to last. And this woman let our social worker know that she had called all of her friends, all of her family, and all of her neighbors to let them know that she was now a Christian. She told her kids, she told her husband, she called her sister, the neighbors knew. This lady could not read, and so ELM purchased an audio Bible so that she can listen in Khmer. And this is just another story of the lives and the people who have never heard, who are now getting to hear of our awesome God. And so I would just ask today that you would pray for the work that we are doing, that you would pray for Extreme Love Ministries. I work with 3 other Americans, 1 Canadian, and a big group of Cambodians, probably 10 to 15 Cambodians, who are all working in all of the projects that I briefly ran through. Would you pray that we would not grow tired or weary, and that God would renew our strength for this work so that we can serve Cambodians and make Jesus known? Pray for the 16,400,000 Cambodians who have not yet heard about Jesus. I ask that you would pray for the children and the families that we're working with, that we would just be able to deepen relationships and bring them to an understanding of who Jesus is. Pray that all of our families would be like our Christmas mom, who began sharing with everybody that she was Christian. The last thing I'll say is I do send out a monthly newsletter, so if you would like to receive that and you don't, please come and let me know so that I can add you to my email list. Thank you so much for coming to hear the work of Extreme Love Ministries. As we say in Khmer, and as you can clearly read at the bottom, Som Preang Pratien Po. May God bless you.
Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. A lot.
That one I was going to take.
Yeah, absolutely. Ta-da. I think I also have time for questions, maybe. Yes.
Okay, you just mentioned about the woman, number four, that became a Christian and then immediately started sharing and telling on her friends and her family. So that would seem to indicate to me that there is not a stigma or family against becoming a Christian and leaving the Buddhist faith.
There is, yes, okay. Yes. So she's asking if there's a stigma. There is. Many families do not want anybody becoming Christian. They Cambodians believe, oh, we are Cambodian, so we are Buddhist, and you are American, so you are Christian, and you cannot change. And they, because of the ancestor worship that they participate in, you need to leave offerings to take care of your parents after they die, which again does not make sense because they're supposed to be reborn, but don't question it. And so many families will say, if you become Christian, nobody will take care of me in the afterlife because now their children will not be giving them offerings. And so I have multiple friends that their families really speak out against them. My language teacher, her family for a long, long time was like, you need to stop being a Christian. Now they're okay with it, but they don't like it. But yeah, most of the time they're like, why would you become Christian? That's the Western religion. We're Cambodian. We need to be Buddhist. Yeah. Which is also why, real quick, sorry, which is also why I really like working with children. If we can get them believing in Jesus as kids, then we don't have that cultural as much pressure of like, why are you changing from Buddhism to Christianity? Yes, question.
When did you said you were in Cambodia for 8 years now?
Yes.
Did you just like go over there to visit or you got involved with like the program?
Yes, so how did I get to Cambodia? First I took a plane. No, just kidding. So I have felt called to be a missionary since I was 12, as Pastor Stan shared, because I knew that's what I was going to do. And so I just began looking into programs. How can I go and serve overseas? And God just connected me with an organization that teaches English all over Asia and the Middle East. And so that's what I felt called to do, was teaching. And so I was like, let me go with this. Because I went to Olivet Nazarene University, they said the only countries they could send me to were Cambodia or Mongolia, because all the other areas they work in are creative access. And with a Christian degree at a Christian university, they didn't want to send me anywhere else. So I knew where Cambodia was because I had been to Thailand. I was like, this is warm, maybe. No idea where Mongolia was, so looked at a map and went, that seems like Canada. I think it's going to be cold. Please send me to Cambodia because it is 90 degrees year round and I love it. So that's how I got to Cambodia. And then I taught at a university for 1 year, and I did not really enjoy university students because they do not want to have fun, at least not in Cambodia. And so I wanted to work with kids, so I got connected with another organization that did human trafficking prevention and taught there for 5 years. And then when they closed, I switched to Extreme Love Ministries, where I've been for the past year and a half.
So how's your Cambodia?
Jung Ao Nyom Nye Khmer Man. Yes, I am pretty fluent. And I tell people I know a lot, but I also don't know a lot. So, yes, I can speak and listen and read and write the language, which Pastor Stan mentioned. These are down here at the bottom. Those are letters. So I can read that and write it.
How prevalent is English?
Very common, especially in Phnom Penh. There is tons of English. In the capital city, you don't need to know the local language. And the first organization I went with did not have a heavy focus on language, but I feel like if we're going to be reaching people, it needs to be in their heart language. Because, you know, if they hear me telling them, Jesus loves you, they're like, yeah, well, so does Kelly, and so, you know, and so if I can explain to them why Christianity is not just for Westerners and English speakers. I want to be able to do that in their language. And it does break down a lot of barriers. Cambodians' faces light up when they realize you speak the language. Even if all you do is say, hello, how are you? They're like, oh my goodness, you know Khmer. So yeah, it goes a ways, yeah.
Is it predominantly one language group?
Yes, yep.
So you teach any Hmong children?
I do not. We have a different tribal group, but it's out more in the provinces. So ELM right now, their focus is only in Phnom Penh. And then we're trying to open a center in Poy Phet, which is on the Thai-Cambodia border, because that's also where a lot of trafficking happens. Yeah. Any other questions? I was going
to
say.
What happens to the offerings that are left at the spirit houses? Does somebody clean those up eventually?
That is a good question. Yeah, they typically change them regularly. Some places, you can go and eat the offering after a certain amount of time has passed. And so I've had friends that are like, yeah, like I remember having to wait for this like rice snack that our parents put out. And I'd just be like, I think it was like when the incense, because they light incense sticks, and they knew when the incense sticks had burned down far enough, they could eat it. So they'd be like, they'll go and watch the incense stick, or they'll blow on it to try and get it to burn faster so they can eat their snack. Any other questions? Yeah.
How predominant is illiteracy?
Yes. It is. Yeah. It's.
So you give them these Cambodian Bibles, but they can't read them?
Yes, which is why we give them a audio Bible. Yes. Yeah, I would say most of the parents that we work with were not educated. They might have went to school to like third or sixth grade. But the Cambodian alphabet is really hard to learn. And it's the longest alphabet in the world. And like, well, it's just very complicated. And so I've heard people say like it takes them until third or fourth grade to learn how to read their native language. And so if you're only getting a third grade education, like, and I think this woman told us, oh, I can only read a little bit. So we don't know if that means she can't read at all and she's just trying to save face and say, oh, I'm just not a strong reader, or if that actually means she doesn't know anything at all. But she would have her daughter read to her. Yeah. I think somebody else had a question, yeah.
I was going to ask you, what concept of Christianity do they struggle with the most in understanding?
They just really struggle to understand that you can be Christian and Cambodian. A lot of people will tell you, oh, all religions are the same. You're just supposed to be a good person. And so it's to get them to understand, like, Christianity is not just trying to get you to be a good person. Christianity is the fact that you are not a good person. You're never going to be a good person. But you can't also say that, because then they get mad. Yeah, but I would say that's a bit, like, my Cambodian friends, that's what they tell me. Oh, I'm the two main things they tell me. I'm Cambodian, so I'm Buddhist, and all religions are just the same. They teach you to be a good person. So they don't see the need to change because they can be a good person as a Buddhist also.
So do you get any resistance?
It's okay.
Since you're trying to break the human trafficking cycle, do you get any resistance from the locals?
I do not, because I teach English, but yes, we do work our rescue, the Elijah program. They will go out to the Cambodia's red light district and do ministry there, do outreach, and yeah, there are people out there who will, you know, question why they're out there or try and get the women not to talk to them. Yeah. Question?
In relation to the last questions, what is the most effective way in reaching them and breaking through that darkness of understanding?
Relationships. Mm-hmm. And personal relationships, and just letting them know that they're loved and cared for. And I think with a lot of our families too, it helps to, they've seen that Buddhism is hopeless in getting them nowhere, so they're a little bit more open. Well, let me see if this Christianity thing can get me anywhere else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You feel safe there.
I do. I would not go into our slum community at night. And the first time I went into the slum community, I was like, what are we doing, Jesus? but yes, so it does help. So because the organization works in that community, the people know us. And so we have a bunch of families that we work with that they wouldn't let anything happen to us because we're helping them out. And a bunch of the neighbors also know us. So yeah, where we work, I feel safe. And then generally, I just don't go to unsafe areas by myself or at night. In Cambodia, Cambodia is in the tropics, which means we get 12 hours of daylight year round. So 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And so you typically just don't want to go out after 8 or 9 at night. So nothing good is happening after those hours.
Do they take offense that you don't participate in the spirit houses?
Nope. Because they just say, oh, you're American, you're a Christian. So yeah, I have went to the temple. So there are two main holidays in Cambodia, one in April and one in October. And for those holidays, like the big thing to do is go to the temples. And I've been to those with friends and just tell them, like, I'm going to stand at the back while you do the offering things. And they like completely understand. So I also went to a new temple opening ceremony with friends, and they like walked around the Wat so many times to welcome the new spirits and move the spirits from the old Wat into the new Wat. And I just told them, like, I cannot participate, I'll just stand back. So I just stood back at that one and just like cried and prayed and was like, God, these people do not know. So yeah.
Yes. You're in a country that's primarily Buddhist. How do you feel when you come to America and see so many Christians engaged in like yoga and meditation?
I don't know. over there, it's not like yoga isn't a huge thing over there. So I feel like in the past, I don't know that I would support it. I've been reading some counseling books about how it actually can help for like mental health reasons. So I don't know, I would just be very careful about it. I think a lot of it has to do with intention is kind of my guess. Yeah. Any other questions? I think Pastor Stan's about to kick us out.
I think our next group's at 2:30.
I have a booth. Come and ask me questions.
She is on Facebook and she posts almost every day. You can follow her. I saw recently, she never wants anybody to say this, but she needs $700 a month that she was lacking. So you can support her that way. And before we leave, we definitely need to pray. So I'm going to ask Pastor Jared if you can. If you want to come and lay your hands on her, that'd be awesome. If you want to come up.
Keep me warm.
Huddle
up.
We're all welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move forward.
Yes. Jesus, I feel convicted. Why was your call to Emma stronger, or more demanding than your call to me and to us? Or just she's been called to be a missionary to a people all the way around the world. Lord, we're called to be missionaries, Lord, in our communities, in our area, our neighborhoods, Lord. Lord, she's given her life for this.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, we say that there's only one way to get to heaven someday. And that's by trusting Christ. And Lord, I contend that once we are Christians, the most important thing in life for us, for any Christian, is for us to turn and give our life, Lord, to see others saved. Not our jobs, not our families, Lord. They're important, Father. Not our churches. But sharing the good news with those around us so their lives can be transformed. Lord. Lord, like I said, it convicts me. I thank you, Lord, for Emma. I pray, Father, you would protect her. Lord, that you would empower her, that you would anoint her, Father. Lord, that she might be a witness, a light in the darkness, Father. Lord, I pray for her. I pray for all of us. Lord, this is what life is all about. Being lights in the darkness. Wherever you take us, Lord. And I just feel like, Father, that I don't take that seriously enough. Help us, Lord, I pray, to impact those around us. Because I believe someday, Lord, we're going to have some people shaking their fingers at us, saying, why didn't you tell me? It was so important. It was so vital. Why did you let me go to hell? And you're confronting me with the gospel, the good news. So bless him, I pray. Protect your Father, I pray. Watch over, Lord, I pray. Anoint her, Father, I pray. And Lord, may your words not fall on the ground. But Lord, I think of the missionaries, Lord, like the Schmelzenbach father, who preached for 20 years before he saw his first convert. But then that one convert brought countless souls to Jesus. Oh, Lord, do it again, I pray. Lord, use all of us, I pray. Lord, use Emma, I pray, Lord. Provide for, Lord, financially. Lord, help her to be fearless, Lord. Pray, keep her from harm, from danger, from error, Lord. Help us, I pray, to keep our eyes fixed on you. Yes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I do have a booth, so come talk to me. And if you want, you can keep the pictures. If you don't want, can you just bring them back up to this table, please?